Hey everybody, this is Caddy. You are in the April Cafe, and it always means my favorite April birthday, Mr. Roger Taylor. Welcome, welcome to our cafe.
Hello, how are you
How
doing?
are you?
I'm very well. I'm down in very sunny Florida,
Oh my gosh, you're so lucky.
which is very, very nice, I have to say.
Is the weather like amazing?
Well, it's always changeable here, isn't it? You'll get a crazy downpour, then like an hour later the sun will come out. But growing up in the UK, I quite like changing weather. I don't like going to places where the weather's the same every day, like sun, 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 sun.
Right.
So I quite like, the cloud formations here, and I like the little rainstorms, and then the sun comes out, and it's beautiful. I really love it here, I have to say, and I'm definitely spending more and more time here.
I love that for you. I'm coming to visit next April. I'm just like letting you know. Okay, so this month for your birthday month, we got some questions for the fans, which I think is now becoming sort of an April tradition. So I'm going to start with Diane S., who says, "Will Aston Villa win the Championship League? Happy blessed birthday, Roger. Thanks for all the music."
Will Aston Villa win the Champions League? I think it's quite unlikely at the moment
Oh.
because we lost 3-1 away from home to PSG
Oh.
in the quarterfinal, and it's over two legs. So
Oh.
3-1 deficit is quite a big one to overturn. But we still have the second leg at Villa Park, and we only have to score two goals. And we're equal on aggregate. So it's still a possibility. But I've got to say, PSG looked so good the other night. It was kind of like, credit to them. They were really good. So it's going to be really difficult. But
But it
still,
was their home park, right? Wasn't it their home field advantage, PSG?
it was. But you don't really want to come away with, too big of a disadvantage, and 2-1, that's not a bad that's a, that wouldn't have been a bad score, but they scored a goal in extra time, which took it
Right.
3-1, which is quite a big scoreline to overturn. So we will have home advantage, but it's still going to be tough because PSG are, I have to say, they're a great team, and hats off to them if they go through.
Okay.
But still
Wait.
praying.
All right. When is the second leg so I can keep an eye?
It is next week. I think it's on the 15th.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
going to keep an eye out.
yeah.
Sandra or Sandra, I don't know how you say your name. Sandra C says, "Roger, you have quite a storied past. How long did you work at the Rum Runner, and what was the most popular drink you served at the venue's bar?"
Oh, that's a really interesting question.
It is, right? I don't think you have a storied past, though. That means he's done a lot of like crazy things. Maybe he has an interesting past. Anyway, not my question. Go ahead.
It wasn't that long. I mean, it was a very short period in our history,
Yeah.
because we went from zeros to heroes very quickly. Once Simon joined, we got a record contract within a few months, and we all know the story that it went. It blew up very quickly, so it was a very short period of time. And we all had our separate jobs. John would be on the door taking money, and he would be in the kitchen cooking burgers. I would be doing the bar work. Simon was at university, so he was kind of doing his own thing at the moment, so he never had the job. But what was the favorite drink? I think Buck's Fizz. Do you know that drink, Buck's Fizz? It was a combination of champagne and orange juice.
Oh my
What do you
gosh.
call it in America? Do you call it a mimosa
What?
or a
A
similar?
mimosa.
Mimosa, yes.
Mimosa, yes.
Mimosa in America, but we called it Buck's Fizz.
That's so funny.
It was the birth of that drink. the early 80s. So that was probably the most popular.
Oh my gosh. Everybody probably felt very fancy ordering it, right? Like a little champagne and orange juice.
So Buck's Fizz, I would say, was the most popular.
Nice one. Kelsey D says, how does a Duran jam typically unfold? Are you often the first to play by starting up a groove?
Yes, I would say that is usually the case, that John and I will be working on a groove. We're all set up together in the studio, and it very quietly. We don't like to play too loudly so that the song can kind of progress without everybody getting deafened. So we start off pretty quietly. We usually start on a drum and bass groove. Nick will then kind of introduce maybe a sequencer or some keyboard parts. If we have a guitar player present, they will start to work on some chords or maybe where the song is going to go, along with Nick, of course. And then Simon will come in and just kind of, just blah along really and just come up with melodies, which is,
Yeah.
he's really amazing at coming up with melodies like so quickly. And that's how we usually give the birth to the song. And then Simon will spend a lot of time working on the lyrics once we have the melody and the chord structure in place. So it's quite an old-fashioned way of songwriting, really, because most people are just using like a producer or a computer and a singer. Well,
Right.
we very much write as a band. As I always say, it's very much like the Beatles or the Stones would have done.
Yeah. But I think that's great because I remember the first time I saw the studio that you work in, I'm like, it's so small. Well,
That's
I
right.
don't,
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's,
people
yeah.
have this great big
And
room.
I like that you do that. And, it's Roger knows my son is in a band and they rehearse in his room. And one of the dads came to pick up and he said, oh, they can rehearse in my garage. And I'm like, no, I like that they're right, because now I know from you guys, I like that they're in this smaller space and they're basically kind of on top of each other, learning. Anyway, I got that from you guys.
You just took me back to the day that we met Simon, and we were doing that very same thing. We were just coming up with a groove, and Nick would come up with this great sequencer part, and we were actually playing Sound of Thunder. We were just kind of worked up that song between the three of us, I think it was, and Simon walks in and he just kind of starts blaring this melody, which was absolutely perfect for the song. And
Yeah.
it just kind of fitted to what we were doing. It was so perfect. And then he opened up his lyric book and he sang Sound of Thunder. And we're like, that's it. It's him. He's
Oh
him.
my gosh. That's so great that you still, of all the things that happened with you guys, that you can still tap into that memory. Like you knew even then that it was going to be a special memory that would live with you
It was like
forever.
and our Mick Jagger at that
Yeah.
moment. And we tried so many different people, and we were just kind of hitting ourselves on the head at that point. We just never thought we were gonna find the right guy. And Simon walks in, and it's like, wow, this is the guy.
I love it. Couldn't think of it any other way.
Good old Simon.
Good old Simon Levon. He's so funny. He butt dialed me this morning at 6 a.m.
He did what?
He butt dialed me at 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's not just me that Bud dials you then.
No.
Oh, okay. Thank God for that.
No. I didn't hear it though because I had it off my phone or on no ringer. And then when I woke up, I saw a text and it went, whoops, butt dial. So then I knew.
You only get a call these days, don't you?
Yeah, I never get a
Call is when it's a butt dial, isn't it?
pretty much.
Pretty much, you just know it's a butt dial.
It is, but I worry for our boys because Roger and I have sons the same age. Like, how are they going to go to work? They don't even know how to make a phone call. Like, may I please speak to? They don't even know how to do that. I hate
Exactly.
Tanner to call. Like, I'll say, order pizza at us for us at Bellagio. And he'll go, what do I say? Like, I'm asking him to drive a car. They
Yeah.
don't even,
Where's the app?
don't know how to do it. Ah!
So true.
Anyway, Mike V says, happy birthday, Roger. What would us fans be surprised if we saw in your vinyl collection? Any bands you like that are not in the same realm as Duran? Probably loads.
Wow, okay, yeah, I've still got my vinyl, most of my vinyl collection actually. And you might be surprised that I was really into progressive rock as a kid. So a lot of my collection is these like 70s super progressive bands like Yes. I was a huge Yes fan. I love Deep Purple, and of course Zeppelin was one of my big ones. So I've got a lot of original Led Zeppelin.
Mono? Oh.
So I love the movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely love the Zeppelin movie.
So great.
And then you can see it kind of progresses it from that into punk. I've got a lot of the original punk records, like the Ramones and the Pistols and the Clash, Blondie. So I've got a lot, but all the original singles of those. So you can see that I then develop into punk, and then it kind of changes to electronica. Then you've got Kraftwerk and the Human League and Ultravox and people like that. So you can see this whole progression from progressive rock to punk to the what then became post-punk and electronica, and I've got it all there in my my collection.
I love it.
Barely play it.
I know.
It
I
becomes
just
up. You have to keep getting up to change the flipping the record. I mean, Spotify is just so much easier, isn't it?
I just realized listening to something. I know you have a question about this, so I won't get into it, but I was listening to a record you have coming out and realized my record player's broken because all of a sudden I was like, Simon sounds so funny and my record player's not working. It was annoying. Now I have to try and fix it. Andres J says, the party you guys had in London for the Surge Off perfume launch looked amazing. How long did it take to put that together, and what did you think of it?
I know that our management did a hell of a lot of work on that event, and it seemed to take weeks and weeks and weeks to arrange. We had quite a lot of Zoom calls, emails, and a lot of stuff that was leading up to it. But we still didn't quite know what was going to happen on the day. It was like we were showing up, and we just weren't quite sure how it was going to roll out. But it was really amazing, I have to say. It was a really special event, and I think people loved it, actually. I think it went really well.
Well, did you have like a run through or anything? Because it's this immersive experience where you sort of play these roles. Did you have a run through, or you just
We
knew
did
what you were meant to do?
show up in the afternoon. And we had to do a run through. So that's the first time we really got a sense of how it was all going to roll out. And all the guests were made to, it was just like the rum runner, the way that you would have to line up outside before the club opened. And you had the right look, you were allowed in. And so all these very kind of these VIP guests in London that see themselves as kind of super cool, they're all lined up on the street. And I thought, oh my God, they're going to be so angry that they're being lined up on the street.
No, it was such an experience.
But they loved it. They really loved the experience because they got to re-experience the Rum Runner, how it must have been, and how it was quite dingy. You had to go down all these back steps that had hardly any lighting, and then you'd finally come out to the club, And people really enjoyed the experience. So we got really good feedback actually on
Remember that
it. One in
Instagram.
New York.
What's that?
Be cool to do something like that in New York, I think.
It would be cool if you guys brought that here for
Yeah.
sure. Peter Pete says, are you excited to be releasing Reportage? And do you have to do any additional recording for it? Now, before you wonder if you're allowed to answer this question, in the last cafe, Simon did talk about it. So you can feel semi-free to speak of it.
I mean, it's something we're really excited about. We'll sat and listen to everything again a couple of weeks ago, and it's really great. I have to say, it's really there's some really amazing material on there. The guitar playing, particularly, is incredible. I mean, Andy doesn't have to redo anything. It's there. It's amazing.
Wow.
We're gonna recut some drums. Because some of the drums don't sound quite how we would like to have them sounding, and I think we've kind of gone up so much technically as far as drums in the last 10 years that we're going to go back and have very similar parts, but we are going to re-record some of those. I know that Nick's adding some additional synths to it. I think Tom's going to rework couple of the lyric parts, and then we should be done. But we're not going to mess around with it too much. We're gonna just do what needs to be done. So just it still retains the flavor of that era.
Will it be like a will be like a traditional release where you would tour behind it, or more like a bonus release for fans?
I think it's more like going to be like a bonus release, I imagine, but that's not to say that we won't play a couple of songs in the sets.
That's very exciting. Asher P says, when you first check into a hotel, what's the first thing you do? Some people unpack, some lay down, some go right out side. Some go right outside. What about you?
I'm definitely an unpacker.
Me too.
I have to get all my clothes out of my case, into the drawers or the wardrobes, to make myself really at home. And I carry some scented candles with me that I put around the place and light up, because I actually got that from P. Diddy, actually.
Of
I know I'm probably not the best
all people.
point right now to do that today, and it really works because it makes it familiar. You don't feel as though you're in like a strange place. But that's the only thing I do that PD recommend, by the way.
Louise E says, I know you like staying behind the scenes playing drums, but do you ever wish you were more upfront with John, Simon, and Dom?
No, I like where I am. Actually, I'm very, very happy in that position. I mean, I just wouldn't know how to do it. I mean, I've been sitting back there for so long, but I wouldn't have no idea what to do at the front of the stage. I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, I quite like coming to the end, to the front at the end of the show. I enjoy that moment where I can come down and connect with the audience. That's a very special moment for me, actually. I love that. But I don't think I'd like to be down there for the whole show. I've just been sitting behind the drums for so long now that I find it very difficult to change that.
Natalie P says, Roger, I know Duran Duran has a Zoetrope vinyl coming out for Record Store Day. Do you have a favorite unique Duran Duran release, like what, like a record that's hard or rare, hard to get or rare? Natalie.
I think my favorite one was the recording of Hammersmith Odeon that came.
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
Yeah, that was a really great one because those gigs were so special to us, because it was the first time we played in London at a really iconic venue, and it was the first time we thought, wow, we're making it. And I'm so glad that those shows were recorded, because they were really special nights. So I think that's my favorite of the more recent ones.
All right, we have three more questions, so we can do like a speed round or something. Sean L says, what type of music was playing in your house growing up, and how did it influence what you listened to? Happy birthday, Roger. Have a great one.
Great question. When I was growing up, there's a lot of Motown being played in my house. My parents loved Diana Ross and Stevie Wonder, and I also had my older brother that loved Motown. So I was bombarded with the Motown records,
That's great.
which is really interesting because I was in a cab in Miami about 3 years ago. And I was driving down the road with this guy in the a guy that was driving me, and he said, "Oh, what do you do?" Oh, I said, "I'm a drummer." "Oh, what band?" I said, "Duran Duran." He said, "Oh my God, I love Duran Duran." And he says, "You know what I love about Duran Duran? I don't like many white artists, but you know what? I hear Motown in the rhythm section. Duran Duran, and that's why I've always loved Duran Duran. I don't really like pop bands, but I love Duran Duran because of that." And I thought,
Oh,
how interesting.
but what a compliment.
I grew up listening to Motown, and so that must have somehow translated into the rhythm section. And then
Yeah.
40 years later, this guy says, "Oh, I can hear it in the rhythm section of Duran Duran."
Oh my gosh.
Was all that Motown that was being played in our house growing up went in there, and it came out in the playing. Although I was a little bit young for the Motown era, so by the time I was really getting into music, as I said, I was into rock and whatever.
Right.
I
But it
think
could have
that
influenced you.
certainly kind of went into my brain somewhat,
Yeah.
came out in the playing.
That's great. That's a great story.
My parents loved ABBA as well. They were big ABBA fans, who I thought were so uncool at the time. I couldn't stand them because my parents liked them. I've come to appreciate ABBA for the great artists that they are.
Your parents had good taste, have good
Heavy.
taste.
I didn't think so at the time, but they did.
Jeanette R says, you have some tour dates coming up. Do you do research on things you might want to see in a city you're visiting, or do you just go with the flow? Happy birthday to the best drummer on planet Earth.
Thank you. I'm not really a tourist, I have to say. I'm not one of these people that goes touring around cities. I'm there to work, really. That's my main focus, is to get to the city and try and have myself arriving at the show in the best possible place that I can, which is with energy and which is with focus. And if I was going around on an open-top bus all day long in Madrid, by the time I got to do the show in the evening, I would probably be, ready for a lie down. Gisela is a great tourist. She gets everywhere she goes. She will go on an open-top bus and
Me too.
go and see everything you can.
Yeah.
But I'll tend to stay at the hotel and chill, and I'd rather be in the spa probably than touring around, unless there's something really special that I want to go and see, then I will make an effort to do that.
That's so funny because Gisella and I were with our children in one city you guys were playing in, and it was like two minds collided. Like, where can we take
Right, two
the kids?
explosions collided.
We were like, what can we do? What's great for the kids? Where can we see? What can we? It was fun. I would travel with her anytime.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to miss out on
Our final question for you, Raj, comes from Fernando R. And he says, Roger, if you could go back in time and know everything now that happened, would you still leave the band in 1985?
Thank you, Fernando. That's a great question, I have to say. I'm a great believer in what happens in your life is meant to happen. And I've got no regrets about that at all. I think it was the right time for me to move on and do something different. We often all speak about this, how young we were when this happened.
People don't realize how young you guys were.
I mean, it's crazy, really, and the amount of work that we got through in those first few years, we dedicated every minute of our lives to it. So by the time I was 25, I think it was time for a break. I didn't
You
know.
were only 25.
I was only 25. Yeah.
God.
Yeah, and I'm so glad because, I found a lot of different avenues of life that I went down during that period. I didn't think it was going to be that long. And I'm never quite sure when and if I was going to go back to the band. But, 15 years went like that, boom. But I think when I came back, I felt really refreshed. As an adult, I'd grown up. So it was so great coming back after that time out. So I'm really glad that I did have that time. And I had three amazing kids as well. I don't forget
Yeah.
that time. So I still see it as a very productive time of my life.
That's great. Rod, you're great. I want to wish you a happy birthday because you're one of my best friends, and I hope that you have this terrific birthday. I think, will you still be in Florida or will you not be in
No,
Florida?
I'm going back to London, actually.
Oh, okay.
23rd. So I'll be back in London for my birthday.
You'll be back in London. Well, I hope you have chocolate cake and delicious dinner and fun things and family and everything good because you deserve it all.
Much. Thank you. Thank you.
You're the sweetest. Thank you for being.
Everybody, for the questions. Really great
They
question.
were good questions, right?
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
was impressed.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have you back in the cafe. Let's see. May, June, I don't. You might be September. I think you'll be my birthday month the next time you're back in the cafe. So we'll have a lot to talk about because you'll have done some touring stuff. We'll probably have a release date for Reportage.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So
Hopefully that will be done.
we'll see you back.
Last words.
What's that famous last words? Yeah. Grand time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Raj. We all wish you, on behalf of the whole fan VIP community, we wish you a very, very happy, happy, healthy, healthy birthday, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.